Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What could possibly go wrong? This is Wretched Radio, story after story. The anecdotes are compiling. What is the future for American Christianity? It doesn't really look all that exciting. This is Wretched Radio. What's going on around the globe? What's been happening for centuries? And that is people who hate the Lord, and that is the majority of people. They hate his children. So what do they do in striking out at God? They strike out at his children. And we would be wise, not alarmist, but we would be wise to consider what is happening around the globe, even in our own country, to consider could it happen here? And I fear the answer is, yeah, it could. China, removing Christian references from, you know, that dangerous book, Robinson Crusoe and Other Children's Classics. They just want to purge Christianity from anything that they can.
What's left? That's an explicitly Christian book.
I know it. It is an explicitly Christian book. What's left? I don't know. Nevertheless, we see in China people who hate the Lord, communist or not, they are willing to do whatever it takes to get Jesus out of their face. They want to deny and suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Can it happen in your country? Answer, of course it can. Can it happen anywhere? Well, it's already happening here. The YouTuber, Google's sister company, deplatformed. I think that means they kicked her off. A 14-year-old conservative girl after she made a video criticizing Pride Month. Her channel has been completely banned from YouTube. That ought to teach that whippersnapper. Known on Twitter as...
Something?
Yeah, let me put my cheaters on.
Sure.
It still doesn't make sense. Even now I can see it, I can't read it. She's got a Twitter name. She's been penalized by YouTube previously with suspension for dangerous humor and poking fun at leftist orthodoxy.
Dangerous
with
approximately, humor.
That's right. It's dangerous humor. Yeah.
Okay.
Because remember, tolerance is a one-way street. With approximately 1 million subscribers, wowza, well done, young lady, she was shut down. She rose to fame for poking fun at topics such as radical Islam, climate change, and pedophilia among Hollywood elites. You know, speaking of radical Islam and pedophilia, it is in the West one religion that has moved us away from what we see starting to encroach on our culture again, and that is adults abusing children sexually. And we used to call it pedophilia, but now, thanks to liberalism and a godless worldview, we're seeing its return. What was the Clinton fellow who died in jail, who had the thing going on?
Which one?
Was that Epstein?
Epstein's the latest.
Yeah, they do tend to have a trail of bodies behind them, don't they? Epstein. And I was reading an article last night, I believe, from a pastor who was observing that this fellow who was selling young women for pleasure, he's really calling the bluff of our culture. You want love is love. You want free sexuality defined any way that we want? Here it is. That is not the right side of history. That is a regression in history. In history, it used to be common everywhere that Christianity wasn't. where young people, boy or girl, would be used by the powerful. That was the way that it worked. Even in, think Old Testament times, it was the Old Testament that introduced concepts like, no, one man, one woman. Otherwise, Dennis Prager, I think, does an outstanding history on the sex in ancient times, that it was done simply any way that you desired. There were no rules. As long as it made you happy, you could do it, and you were not judged. There were really, I think this may be a slight overstatement, but in ancient days, there were no perverts. You could do it any way that you wanted to, with anyone that you wanted to, and you couldn't be judged. I'm not just talking about gender. I'm talking about species. I'm talking about animate with inanimate objects. It did not make any difference to that culture how you received your personal pleasure. The Old Testament comes along and says, we got a different sexual ethic. One man, one woman, covenant relationship with children being a part of that little covenantal unit. Radical for the ancient Middle East. That was radical. Christianity, now it didn't happen overnight, continued that radical idea that intimacy was something special and it was transcendent and it had a greater meaning than just the temporary, momentary pleasure of it. It signified something. The relationship between God, Jesus Christ, and his church, not in a sexual way, but in that intimate way. It's just a fuzzy picture of a greater reality. And as that idea continued to move throughout Western civilization, these other perverted forms became just that, perversions. And cultures changed. Now, people like Epstein, they're regressing us. Our whole culture is regressing. Why? Because Christianity is being pushed aside. It is abating with its cultural influence. And so what do you see? The takeover of other religious systems, including atheism, which define a sexual ethic as whatever you want. There are no rules. There are no breaks or guidelines. Do whatever makes you happy. And even the atheist rule of first do no harm, even that apparently, that's going bye-bye. But we don't need that. We need pleasure. And if it hurts a young person, we'll figure out a way to make it say it actually doesn't hurt a young person. We're regressing in our culture. That is what is going on with this particular story. That we want to stifle anybody who criticizes pedophilia and radical Islam, which is a religion. Their founder, Muhammad, he was a pedophile. He married a six-year-old, and he ended up consummating that relationship at the age of 10. Apparently, you can't criticize that anymore. Bill Maher demonstrating a willingness to not allow people to hold contrary worldviews. Now, I don't think that Bill Maher would ever hurt somebody. I don't think. Nevertheless, headline, Bill Maher says he's glad David, is it Koch? K-O-C-H, the Koch brothers, I believe. Glad he's dead. I hope the end was painful. Yikes. Stating, yesterday, David Koch of the zillionaire Koch brothers, didn't know there was such a thing, died of prostate cancer. I guess I'm going to have to reevaluate my low opinion of prostate cancer, said Bill Maher. Now, he's just a conservative. Maybe he was a professing believer, but what is this? It is a rather nasty attitude towards somebody who does not toe the liberal line. Bill Maher went on to say that David and Charles Koch have done more than anybody to fund climate science deniers, so there would be little sympathy. So bleep him. The Amazon is burning up. I'm glad he's dead. I hope the end was painful. Lovely. Absolutely lovely. Hold on. There's more. This is in Canada. There's a new piece of legislation that seems to be getting shoved through their legislature. However that works there, I'm not exactly sure. To criminalize so-called conversion therapy, change therapy in Canada. An all-out ban. Going back to April, they introduced a bill which would ban conversion therapy, stating any practice, treatment, or service designed to change an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity to eliminate or reduce sexual attraction or behavior between persons of the same sex against the law. Now you say, our church doesn't teach that. Yes, it does. If it preaches the gospel, which is a radical demand to change and stop sinning. Now, in August, a special advisor to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau confirmed that Justice Minister David Lametti has pledged to make conversion therapy a criminal offense. Could it happen in your country? Well, of course it could. The question now is, how will we start as Christians living in a culture that is hostile toward us? And the answer is, the same way that we should have been living all along, making disciples. This is Wretched Radio. Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers. Believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible. For just $5 per Bible, you could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
Thank you for joining us. Always glad when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. And thank you for sending us your wretched stories. Tis easy peasy. Just email us your story. idea@wretched.org. Like this one from Quentin. Hello, Wretched Gang. Just wanted to say thank you all for the ministry and everything you all do. Yep, Quentin's from Texas. I watch Wretched on YouTube just about every day and just want to specifically say how great and powerful the little book Don't Stub Your Toe is. It's a great presentation I've never read or heard before. So now I hand them out everywhere and to everyone. If you would like to share your wretched story with us, we'd truly love to hear them. idea@wretched.org. And if you would like to partner with us to make more wretched stories possible, go to wretched.org/donate and become a Wretched Monthly Gospel Partner. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother, sadly, passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1678. John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress is published. Written while Bunyan was in prison for preaching the gospel, this allegorical tale of the Christian life becomes second in international circulation, exceeded only by the Bible.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got's a bit of a dilemma for you. This is Wretched Radio. North Carolina police fired a police officer fired for following the Billy Graham rule. Well, this is interesting now, isn't it? Here's a conundrum for your consideration. This fellow is a police officer, been in the force a number of years. He was assigned to train a goyle, and he said, basically, the Bible says that's a sin. Now, that raises a question. Is it a sin for a man to ever be alone with a woman who is not his wife? Okay, not daughters, not aunts and cousin. I'm talking about, is it ever a sin or is it always a sin for a man to be alone with another woman? I can't think of a Bible verse that says it is. Now, does that mean it's always wise? No. But is it ever okay? That is the dilemma. You're at work, let's say, that you have to go pick up something at the store, and a woman, you're a fella, and a woman should come with you because it's her project. It's the thing that she needs to make the whole program that you're working on together go forward. So you two have to get into a car together to go drive to the store and pick something up. The Billy Graham rule says no can do. You cannot be in a vehicle with somebody of the opposite sex because two reasons. What might somebody think if they see you with that person? So your testimony. Second, any sort of temptation that might exist. And I think third danger would be, what if an accusation is made, even a false accusation is made, that there was some hanky-panky? So there is great wisdom in not being alone with another person of the opposite gender. But is it something that you should be willing to get fired over? Now, this fellow is calling for a religious exemption. Nevertheless, he was fired. And he's without a gig. What would you do? You've got that situation at work, don't you? You have to meet with somebody in the conference room. It's loud. You want to close the door. Billy Graham rule says, no can do. Now, in our little office that we've got here in a ministry, we're all cool with that. You keep, if you happen to be in the office with another woman and you're a guy, you keep the door open so that there it can be above reproach. But what if you don't have that luxury because you work in a secular environment? What you gonna do? Joey, Tony, should the police officer have been willing to let himself get fired, or should he have just done the training, gotten into the car with the goyle, and done what he was assigned to do?
I wouldn't have done what he did, so he was wrong.
Pretty much the way it works when it comes to gray matters, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
All right, Tony, would you have bit the bullet? I see a police joke right there. And been fired, or would you have just done it because that's what you were assigned to do?
I would have done that particular thing because you're in a police car, you're carrying 40 pounds of equipment on you, and you're training someone. Mm-hmm. I don't see that as turning into a romantic interlude.
But what about somebody seeing you or a false accusation?
Yeah.
It could happen, right?
Could.
Yeah.
See, but you're doing your job.
But you're doing your job. See, which is why this gets dicey.
That's a tough one.
It falls underneath, I think, the umbrella of adiaphora. This is just, there's going to be different Christians who are going to make different decisions on this. So when this fellow said, the Bible says it's a sin. Here, I've got the quote for you right here. As a married man holds the strong and sincere religious belief that the Holy Bible prohibits him as a married man from being alone for extended periods with a female who is not his wife. I'd love to hear what Bible verse that is, because if that's the case, sweet. Now, I don't know what an extended amount of time is. Is that 3 minutes, 30 minutes? Nevertheless, I'm not aware of one. That doesn't mean that it isn't wisdom. I believe there's great wisdom in it. I can't help but wonder, though, if you might have to think this through as your culture and your corporate environment starts to be less sensitive toward Christians in allowing us to say, you know, if you don't mind, got an issue with that. Now, having said that, two thoughts for your consideration. Number one, with gray areas, they're gray by definition because they're gray. And some Christians are going to make other decisions than you might. I think we need to allow for that. Look, we can all be compromised in how we process issues, can't we? Well, you can't. Whether you like it or not, you are. For instance, this fellow is 51 years old. He's got a year to go. Year to go! And he gets the pension and then can start working for his church and volunteering. But he lost his job instead. Can you see how that might play into your decision? Well, you know, I've only got 3 months to go. Eeks. Right now, my other spouse, she can't work. We'd be in big trouble. He can't work. This would be a disaster for us. Can you see how it might become? So I think we need to allow different Christians to make different decisions. Second, I've got a solution for the whole thing. I could just fix all of this problem. Resolved. One easy keystroke. If this happens to you, it's very simple. Just say you're a Muslim and you can't, and you will be just fine. They will not bother you. Might suggest we are going to have more and more of these opportunities to be challenged in our decision making because of our culture's new attitude toward Christianity. Sexual freedom. Yeah, baby. Religious freedom. Not so much. Case in point, Denny Burke reporting on an article from Marcy Bianco at NBC News. Where are we going in this country with sexual issues? Huge implications for Christians. Marcy Bianco. Men need heterosexuality to maintain their social dominance over women. I didn't know that.
That's what it's for.
And that's what you've been doing, you brute beast.
Well.
Here I just dug her, you know, and wanted to be with her for the rest of my life. Little did I know I was keeping all women down everywhere.
See how you are?
Ay, ay, ay. Women, on the other hand, are increasingly realizing not only that they don't need heterosexuality, well, but that it is also the bedrock of their global oppression. This is our new culture. This is progressivism. This is the trajectory. What? They're going to start getting more aggressive toward heterosexuality? Could it be that's where we're at now? Where before it was just, hey, we just want to be able to visit people in a hospital. Hey, we just don't want to be discriminated against. Hey, we just want to be able to do contracts together. Hey, we just want to get married. Hey, we don't want heterosexuality to exist. Wow. Glad that the slippery slope argument doesn't ever apply to anything. Patriarchy is at its most potent when oppression doesn't feel like oppression. Because we've been so... Tony, by the way, I don't know if you realize this. I know I sent the memo to Joey. Next Thursday, we're having our covert meeting, all men everywhere getting together. Shh. Don't tell Robin. Don't tell Carla. We're going to be meeting to continue our dominance and oppression over women.
Excellent.
We don't... You do creepy well. We don't want them to know. This is the highest form of oppression. Should it be the lowest form? Nevertheless, when it's packaged in terms of biology, religion, or basic social needs like security, comfort, acceptance, and success. Heterosexuality offers women all these things as selling points to their consensual subjection. You laugh.
The stupid is strong with this one.
Okay, this is now the thinking on campus. This is what people are being indoctrinated with. By the way, our culture, what we're seeing now, this is not first generation. This is more like third, fourth, fifth generation of indoctrination on university campuses where the intellectual intelligentsia have indoctrinated enough people that this type of thing can actually be written in NBC News and not mocked on its face. Historically, women have been conditioned to believe that you've been conditioned, ladies, that it's not that you like men as your primary companion. You've been conditioned to believe that you like men. But you don't. You think it's natural or innate. It's not. Wait a second here. Weren't we told not that long ago that sexuality was innate? Weren't we told that you were born that way? Well, I guess we don't need that line anymore. So the fluidity of our understanding of fluid sexuality apparently has just changed. Just as they've been conditioned to believe that their main purpose is to make babies. And if they fail to do so, they're condemned as not real or as bad women. Seems to me you can take religion out of it and nature has settled the case. Women are made to make babies because they're made to make babies. That's what intimacy points toward, doesn't it? That's the result of it. That's its purpose. Even a pagan should be able to get that, but they don't want that. They're going to suppress that so that they can live any way that they want to. And now apparently they want to promote lesbianism for women who have been deceived into thinking they've been heterosexual all these years. What a world. This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. Galatians was written by Paul to the churches he planted in the region of Galatia, in modern-day Turkey, where a form of legalism was threatening the gospel. Paul insists that salvation is by grace through faith, and to rely on the law is to deny the gospel. In the gospel, God has once for all declared us righteous on the basis of Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And if you don't mind me saying so, a pretty cheery edition of Wretched Radio. Nothing but good news after good. So let's just change our focus from the world and have some good news about what's going on inside of the church.
All right.
Well, there is good news going on inside of the church. We can't overlook that. Even though we see tons of wonky stories going on, there is much good going on inside of the Christian church. There are faithful pastors. There are faithful believers serving in little teeny tiny ways that the news media never picks up on. By the way, for whatever this is worth, speaking of news media and Christians, we were just in the Twin Cities last week, watched the evening news, the 10 o'clock news. In Atlanta, the East, it seems to be 11 o'clock news. You know that whole time thing with Richard Nixon. At any rate,
yep.
We were an hour different. It's on at 10 o'clock. Now, granted, they were covering the state fair a lot. But at 10:10, they were doing a story. Now 10:10, that's like the big, hey, this is the big stuff you got to be focusing on. In Minnesota, the big story was, why is it that as you get older, time seems to fly by faster? We spoke to several people to see if that, you know, is a pattern. So they're interviewing a bunch of people out at the fair. Do you think time goes by faster? And older people going, oh yeah, it sure does. Zoom, zoom, boy, I'll tell you, better live it up while you're young, because woof, does it just fly by when you're old. So what is it that causes that perceptual change? They spoke to a psychiatrist who said, and then they blah, blah, blah. Okay, that was the big news. That was a big news story. I can guarantee you, in Atlanta, at 11:10, it would be a murder story. They would be able to fit in at least two murders in a one-minute story, at least, if not more. It is nonstop murder, violence, criminal activity. Somebody drove their car, which they stole, through a storefront window so that they could take some stuff. Here's the video. And we show it over and over again. Now, I get it. Little stories, maybe they're not as exciting. Maybe they don't garner the great ratings. But I couldn't help but stop and think, wow, this diet, this guzzling of bad, horrible murder, death, and mayhem, it's not good. And to me, it kind of was one of those distinctions, a personified distinction between a major city like Atlanta, which is about 6 million people, versus, now the Twin Cities aren't small, but we're talking about a couple million people, a smaller city, and just a smaller feel to it. Because of just the number of bodies, I found watching the 10 o'clock news in the Midwest healthier than watching the murder and mayhem hour in the East, which simply was a cue to me, just like you watch your physical diet when you suddenly go, whoa, where did that roll come from? Woofta. Why, suddenly these pants are getting a little bit tight. You've been consuming too much of the bad stuff. Same thing is true with what we consume with our eyes. I wonder how good some of that stuff is. I wonder how good some of those programs about this guy committed this horrible murder, and then we tracked him when we got the straw to the garbage can at McDonald's to get the DNA so we could catch the guy who murdered the girl who... you watch your diet, I'll watch mine. So let's consume some church news. Todd, aren't you violating exactly what you were just...
Why do I not feel like this is going to be sunshine and unicorns?
We'll do our best here, as best we can. Church news, Tullian Chavijan. Turn to the person next to you and don't say anything. Tullian Chavijan. He was the fellow, a Presbyterian Church America, the grandson of Billy Graham. He inherited D. James Kennedy's Presbyterian Church, Coral Ridge Presbyterian in Florida. That was a rather contentious, that was a church splitter, is what that was. Nevertheless, a series of scandals, I don't know how else to describe it, led the Presbyterian Church America to say you're defrocked. You are no longer qualified. You are removed from the pulpit. What should a fellow do? Well, ultimately, unless there are complications and reasons that the elders deem are it's just a bad idea, I think the fellow should stay there underneath the protective cover of the church to make sure that his soul is not in jeopardy. What has Tullian chosen to do? Well, he just goes elsewhere. He just finds another platform. And now he has started up a church. It looks like about 60 to 80 people are attending the sanctuary, which is, well, it's what he has to create. This church is a sanctuary for people like me. Aren't we just all a big old mess? Don't we all just have a bunch of problems? Look, this doesn't mean that Tullian's sins would disqualify him from the kingdom if he demonstrates repentance, but it definitely means he's not qualified anymore to be in this position. But what does he do? He just leaves the denomination. He leaves the protective covering that is good for all of us. Might I suggest that right now you settle in your brain, determine right now, should the day ever come when my elders call me or sit down with me and say, we're very concerned about your soul. We see that you're doing this and we're calling you to repentance. I would encourage you to determine now you're going to repent and not rebel and run away like so many people do. This is a problem. This is a Matthew 18:15 problem of church discipline. You're going to discipline me? No, you're not. You're not going to kick me out. I'm quitting. You can't quit a church when you're under discipline. It's not an option. You can leave a church with the church's blessing if you've got a new church home, but you can't just quit the church. Determine now you're not going to be Tullian. His soul is in grave danger. He is rebelling against the discipline of his own church denomination so that he can do whatever it is that he's choosing to do. And it appears he's still working out because I got a picture of him right here. And well, he's no Stephen Furtick, but he's definitely been hitting the gym a bit, and he's still been in pulpits ever since the fall, the divorce, the scandals all took place. He's just not submitting to church discipline. Determine in your heart, if that ever happens to me, it is for my good. And if you find yourself going, well, this church is just stupid. These men are, they, I've never liked these guys anyway. I'm out of here. You're being a fool, and you're in grave danger. Don't do that. Submit to church discipline. We're seeing, too, this is another church story. That is a sad one indeed. James McDonald hints at return to ministry to his followers. According to the Christian Post, quote from James McDonald, who didn't enjoy his preaching? Did anybody not enjoy his preaching? Our broadcast partners are our family now, and we will be back soon with fresh messages from God's Word, all free, all digital, all the time, as promised. Well, it sounds like more than a hint to me. He too is in danger, and we should be very concerned about him. It's scary that he says that our supporters are our family now. No, your church is your family now, which incidentally is a message I think that we should be screaming more these days as the local church. There are people who are professed lonely people. There was a survey, I think we saw it a week or two ago, where millennials said, I don't think I have one friend. They have got 1,000 likers on their Facebook page or their Instagram, followers all over the place, but I don't have one friend. What does Christianity say? When you repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ, congratulations, you now have millions of friends. The universal church, the church triumphant, all your friends who don't just maybe want to hang out with you or send you some text, they love you. That is what you are welcomed into immediately upon submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ and putting your trust in him. Not only that, there's a universal expression of that family, but there's a local expression. It's called the local church. And human beings that have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, with brothers and sisters, with people who love you, who are willing to serve you, and vice versa, that exists, boom, that quick. But guess what? There's a place called the local church. These aren't pixels. They're actual people, and they will love you, and they will serve you, and they will help you, and they will protect you, and vice versa. Look at what we have to offer a lonely world. Do you remember this? This was years ago that people were so desperate to just be touched. They have nobody who ever just ever touches them physically, that physical need that we human beings seem to have. So an industry started up and we all kind of laughed about it. Oh boy, you've got to pay people to just not a non-sexual touch. Well, they're lonely. And recently we saw it's actually become a sustainable industry. That screams loneliness in our world, and our churches can be a place where people go to be loved by actual human beings, not in a fake electronic relationship, but in a genuine human one that is transcendent, that is profound, with every tribe, every tongue, every language, every skin color, all brought together with those distinctions erased, not that they don't still exist. But our new identity is under the banner of one person, not ideology, one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message that we have for this world. The local church is a good thing. And we need to shy away from this. Well, we don't have to make people think that we want them to go to our local church. Yeah, we do. And guess what? The good news is it's exactly what they need, because God has designed us to be in community. And the best one is the church. This is Wretched Radio. My special guest today is Dr. John MacArthur. Sir, what is the issue with the Masters Academy International?
The issue with TMAI is very simple. Biblical training. Training men to be the kinds of pastors that are defined and described in the New Testament.
Fascinating, sir, but there are so many ministries who encourage us to do acts of charity internationally.
I mean, it's fine to support philanthropy or some feeding of poor people or caring for children that have needs. But at the end of the day, the impact on a nation has to come from the pastors and leaders. So investing in that is making the maximum investment for the maximum impact.
Thank you, Dr. MacArthur. We're all out of time, or I'd love to ask you more questions. If you would like to support the mission of the Masters Academy International, training indigenous pastors to be biblical expositors, changing nations, you can do that at wretched.org/pastor.
Road Trip to Truth with our host John Fabares is Wretched's next TV series. 26 episodes that go right into the lion's den, secular university campuses. See, we want to reach this generation with this TV show aimed directly at millennials. And this program will also share the gospel with millions. Millions. It's only because of your support of Wretched that allows us to do what we do here every single day. So if you're already supporting Wretched, thank you very much. We are extremely grateful. If you're not supporting Wretched, would you prayerfully consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on, say, a monthly basis? Not only would you be helping us keep the lights on, but you'd help us reach this anxious, depressed, and lost generation with the gospel. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched Gospel Partner and join us on our road trip to truth. That's wretched.org/donate.
Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
That young woman come in, 18, with her boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took him back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts here. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Justin Martyr was a second century apologist who was converted after seeing the courage and devotion of Christian martyrs. He earned his surname when he was executed for his faith. When asked to renounce his faith, he responded, "No one in their right mind turns from true belief to false belief." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Your good news radio program.
We are?
Not so much. This is Wretched Radio. Church news. There's lots of it. Remember, the majority of things that happen in local churches are good. They are unheralded. They're unnoticed. But there are a billion acts of kindness, service, love that happen every single day in the context of the local church. They don't get reported by Christian Post or the other news outlets. It tends to be stuff that's like bad. And we got to watch for that because we don't want to be constantly consuming that. It doesn't mean we can't be aware of things. But if we're just glug, glug, glugging that as our diet, you're going to get sick. You're gonna have spiritual reflux real soon. You're going to need a biblical Pepto-Bismol is what you're going to need to settle down the theological acid that's chewing a hole in your heart. I think I'm pretty much out of gas on that analogy. Todd, you never had it going in the first place. Let's get to some church. Oh, this is I'm excited about this. Now this is going to be fresh. This is going to be exciting. According to Premier, my understanding about Premier in Great Britain is that it is a Christian, I don't know if it's a network, it's a station, it's a program, but historically it has been rather sound. It seems that that's maybe changing a little bit. I think that Premier in Great Britain are actually going to be broadcasting a gay marriage. That might indicate things have changed a little bit. Just saying. That is the issue. Still, to my shock and dismay, that is the issue that is going to cause the great gleaning in the Western civilization churches. Sexual issues. I've got one here, that there's a church that's compromising on that, you know, trying to kind of play it coy, trying to play both sides of the issue. I don't think you're going to be able to get away with it. I know what it was. It was the drummer guy from Mega DC. What's he from?
Ringo Starr?
From Mega DC.
That's the Beatles. Tommy Lee, the drummer.
Oh, Motley Crue.
That's the one right there. Go ahead. Name three hits from Motley Crue.
Dr. Feelgood.
What?
Really? That's about all I got off.
See, there you go. Now, that should be an encouragement to you if you are young and you want to be famous. Do you see how fleeting it is? Right there. And you probably don't even know who Megadeth is. That is how fleeting and fickle
they were. A thrash metal band. Dave Mustaine, he's a Christian now. So was...
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I hope he is.
Yeah.
Well, you hope that he is.
Yep.
And you truly do. It's like, well, great. It's no more of a celebration than if somebody who's not famous gets saved, but cool. Guy gets saved. Praise God for that if that's the case. Tommy Lee was social media screeding, do you remember? And he was conflating Christians and Republicans and conservatives. And I thought that it was fascinating. He was furious at Christians, saying things like, you know, we're going to paint the White House the color, the rainbow. which I think is excellent, that the world is reminded that God is never going to destroy the world with a flood again. You talk about symbol appropriation. He was going after everything that wasn't liberal, putting it all together and mushing it all together. And do you remember what he said about Joel Osteen? Going to put him out of business so he can't even... He's even mad at Joel Osteen. And Joel Osteen, he tries to present himself as the most likable, nicest fellow on the Christian planet. He's not going to be spared from this. You will either have to give a full-throated affirmation to all sexual mores, or they are going to want to shut you down. This is a total suppression to try to assuage a very guilty conscience. It's going to be interesting. Let's give it 5 years. Can we? We'll be generous. 2025. You hear that liberals will say the suicide rate among people who are confused sexually about gender issues, sexuality issues, they're committing suicide because of Christians. Because Christians make them feel really, really bad about being what they are. It's our fault. All right. So let's say it's 5-6 years from now, and Christianity hasn't been allowed to make anybody feel bad anymore. It's all everybody in public, all the corporations have fully embraced homosexuality. Even Delta Airlines. We just flew Delta Airlines walking down the runway dealy bop, the tube thing that you used to. I don't want to get all aeronautical on you, but they've got posters promoting themselves. You're already using their service, but nevertheless, they're promoting themselves. Their first class, which looks really, really cool. I don't mind telling you. Where you get into one of those little cocoon deals, nighty-night Nurse Nickel, it looks amazing. And one of them was, it was a picture of, I don't know what they were promoting. It was two guys being kind of cuddly together on the poster. The corporations are embracing it. TV shows force it into the storyline. We were watching some BBC show, and it's just about human relationships and during World War I. And lo and behold, there's a storyline about a gay fellow. So let's just say now that we have all been embracing this and Christians are silenced, will people continue to commit suicide at these levels that they currently are because of their sexual issues? And I believe, sadly, the answer is yes. Because they can get away rid of everything in the culture that reminds them what they're doing is sinful, but they can't get rid of their conscience. And when you suppress that and you just tamp it down and down and down, it inevitably leads you to a very bleak place. Furthermore, a godless worldview, it does lead to nihilism. There is no point. And everything, as Ecclesiastes says, becomes vanity, vanity. Even being frisky in whatever way that you choose, it becomes vanity. It's not lasting. It doesn't keep delivering. I think that the suicide rate, it's going to do nothing but at least remain the same, no matter what they tell us to say or not say, because their conscience screams at them day and night. Which is why I still keep thinking we need to be loud and not aggressive with the gospel, but not defensive. I don't mean aggressive like, you got to believe this. And unreasonable preaching, but instead of the cowering, okay, well, you know, hey, maybe you could maybe come to church sometime if you want to. I mean, and hey, we've got all the apologetics to sort of, you know, kind of defend what your accusations are because you Googled it for 3 minutes. And so, you know, maybe instead proclaiming to people who are at the end of their ropes, we have a Savior who will forgive you. We have a Savior who will restore you. We will have a Savior who fixes you. We will have a Savior who brings your thinking into alignment with reality. His name is Jesus, and he offers you terms of peace this day, but you must surrender. You must lay down your will. You must lay down your emotions. You must lay down your sinful desires, and you must repent and put your trust in him. He'll forgive you, he'll adopt you, he'll grant you everlasting life, and he'll start fixing you and provide for you joys that you can't even begin to understand at this moment, because they're spiritual joys and they're conceptual joys that are in alignment with reality, and they're profound and they're transcendent. Wouldn't you want that? Let's start proclaiming that gospel loudly and, can I say proudly, or has that word been trademarked like the rainbow has been kidnapped? Looking forward to singing these songs in church. I don't mind telling you. Yep. Musicians on the search for worship songs about climate change from Premier Radio. That's very exciting. Set up by Resound Worship, a group of British worship songwriters who want to equip the local church with lyrics, then talk about caring for the planet. Wow, that's very exciting. Huh. Joey,
yes.
You have got an assignment. You have got 2 minutes. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to write a climate worship song. Go. Don't argue with me. You've got 2 minutes. Do not fail in your assignment. I look forward to hearing it so we can all start singing it together. Don't you know? Hey, here's a resource that you can buy. It's a prayer cloud lamp. That's right. You can go online now and you can buy a prayer cloud lamp. It's a kit. So that when you're praying, the lamp produces a cloud so that you can feel like you're in the presence of God.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's in alignment with this whole massive movement, the New Apostolic Reformation movement, feeling the presence of God, the glory cloud of God, the glory cloud in the church, the glory glitter. And now you can buy, now you can recreate your own hoax in your own home. Congratulations, yeah, to Bethel, 14 Dove nominations, I believe. Furthermore, just so you know, Hillsong, a church, wow, they've got 2 million followers on Instagram. Did you know that? And an additional 1.5 combined from its 10 members. 3.5 million weekly listens on Spotify. May I ask you a question? Do you know everything that Hillsong and Bethel Church are about before you sing their songs in your church? All right, Joey. Hit it.
I got one line written.
Go.
One line.
We don't have time for this argument. Go, man.
To the one who made the earth. That's all I got. That's literally all I was able to get during 1 minute.
Because... Well, that isn't even close to right, Joey. That to the one who made the, you know, that for the beauty of the, that could actually be theologically sound. We need something about climate change, man. Here's a teaser that will work on nobody. By tomorrow, Joey will have our next contemporary Christian climate change hit. Until tomorrow, go serve your king. Can't wait.